Good afternoon, Eric Damry.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm losing my voice, so I hope you're ready to talk a lot.
I'm ready. I'm always ready to talk.
I attended your session the other day on the new JAWS for Windows 5, and we will be featuring that on Main Menu as its own program. But why don't you kind of give a little overview of what some of the new and great features are?
Well, 5 was a really packed release, and you know, we just... as of March 2004, CSUN here, we just released an update, a free update to 5. So we're hoping folks are downloading that and installing it. It is 500844. And in that, we actually built upon some of the things we did in the initial release. And one of the key features of that 5 was place markers, the place marker technology that you can use in HTML, whether you're in a help system, on the web, or you can even use it in PDF documents, and basically dropping these place markers in different locations so that the next time you come back, you can quickly get there or have them read to you automatically. Just a great new feature, and that's what we tried to show at the convention here to introduce this concept to people because it's kind of new. And then the other big feature, I guess, is the Speech and Sounds Manager, and it's the one I'm really excited about in how it changes the way we interact with our computer's applications. Instead of having to hear the screen reader speak everything, we're starting to incorporate sounds or changes in the way things are being spoken to give us that understanding of what's happening as we're moving around or as we're reading a particular attribute in our document or getting the state of a control like a checkbox or maybe a list box, understanding that you're in a list box. So just really exciting new feature, and I hope people are taking advantage of it.
Yes, I was quite impressed with the place markers at the demonstration you did. I'm a person with a little bit of a hearing difficulty, so I found that the speech and sounds were a little difficult for me to discern kind of as they were happening simultaneously, but I would suspect that that's quite configurable.
Very much so, and there's a wide variety of sounds that we've included, and of course, people can get and make up their own sounds and add to it. That's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah, and blind people love sounds.
Oh, yeah.
One question I have from a listener. We did a two-hour call-in show here from the hotel on Sunday, primarily for folks who couldn't get to the show this year. And one of the questions that came in fits well with what we're talking about now, and that is, how will the new authorization scheme work, and is it available now?
It's not available yet, but we've been working on this now for the better part of 2 years, actually, in making sure that when we do roll it out and people get their hands on it, it first of all, it works the way we need it to, but it also works the way the users need it to, and that is it's got to be transparent, it's got to be accessible for them, it's got to be a good solution that people can interact with without too much of an inconvenience. So the new solution we're intending on rolling out with our 5.1 release, which is another free upgrade for people that have the 5.0 version. It's tentatively scheduled right now in the second quarter of this year, so it's just right around the corner here.
We're very
busy, but we're always working on you know, the next version and sometimes the next version out. So we've got this down to a science. We really are trying to get out at least one major upgrade every year, and we're trying to do a couple of good updates during the course of the year. So we'll be looking for 5.1 in Q2 of this year, and new product shipments should be receiving that with the new authorization scheme, and then we'll be making that new authorization scheme available to all of our existing customers as they upgrade to 6.0. So with their SMA shipments, they'll be looking to get that.
One thing I wonder if you could react to, and I'm interviewing both you and the GW Micro folks, and I'm going to ask you each this question. It's another listener question, more of a comment. And the comment was, I wish you would tell these guys that when we get updates to screen readers, what I feel like we're getting are some convenience features, nice features, but convenience features. And I'd like to see a really substantial update to interact more appropriately with things in Windows that aren't available to us right now. And I think some of the examples that were given were things like some of your DVD stuff and stuff that we as screen reader users still can't get to. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what your sort of thought about that is.
Well, we're always trying to listen to what the users are asking us for. I think that it's challenging for screen reader manufacturers, and not just Freedom Scientific, but anyone who's trying to deal with screen reading or even screen magnification, to develop for some technologies that had no accessibility in mind at all when they developed or created those technologies. Let's talk about an encyclopedia. I mean, to me, an encyclopedia and a dictionary is something that needs to just be working. You would just take it for granted, and I'd look at a program like Encarta and how difficult it is for a screen reader user to try and use an application like that.
Yes.
And those applications are very, very complex, and we don't have access to anything to communicate with them. They're not really designed with MSAA embedded throughout it, and the object model that we can use to tackle Microsoft Word and Excel and PowerPoint, we haven't had really exposed to us in applications like that. So, applications like that are, you would think it'd just be an essential that everyone should be able to get it. And we have our hands tied quite often trying to get into that. Look at other programs like Money, that Microsoft has available for people to use to keep track of their funds and so forth. These are applications that I think, everyday users want to have access to and be able to use their screen reader with it, and they're big, big challenges for screen reader manufacturers. So I think it's important to continue to ask the screen reader developers to go out there and tackle some of these applications that you want to use, but we also need you to be very vocal and make sure you're communicating with the manufacturers of these applications that you want to use, and make sure that they're willing to do what's necessary to get their application information exposed to the screen readers.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the old Quicken days. Remember when Quicken...
Well, the Quicken days aren't so old. They're still here,
but they're better than they were.
Well, we put a lot of effort into getting scripting done for those earlier versions, but Quicken 2004 is coming out, and I'm already hearing that maybe things aren't working quite the way we would have expected them to be. So maybe there's more work. We've got to go back in there, and we've got to tackle that project. It's an ongoing battle, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It's the same with websites. When we encounter a website that's unusable, I mean, I really believe personally that I can't complain about it if I sit and do nothing about it.
Correct.
And we really do have to, on our side of the screen reader, we really do have to advocate, no matter who our screen reader is, to the manufacturer for better access by working with the screen reader manufacturers.
Absolutely. But I also, let me also add,
sure.
We have our email address, suggestions@freedomscientific.com, and while people that send suggestions in don't always get answers, I want everyone to be aware that we actually do get those emails, and I do actually read every one of them that comes through. So I would like people to continue to send in their suggestions for the applications that they're wanting to use or the behavior that they'd like to see improved in a particular application, because those are some of the decisions that we have to use and we weigh to figure out where we're going to put our resources, what are we going to work on, what are our customers really asking for. And so sometimes the squeaky wheel is what gets the grease, and utilize those tools if you can.
two other comments, and then I'd like to, or two other questions, and I'd like to ask you to comment and tell folks, remind folks about the MP3 files up on your website. We had questions that I will combine regarding improved Java support. Mm-hmm. Is there any in version 5? And also any comments about Flash Media and how 5 works with that or doesn't?
Well, let's talk about Java first. You know, this is a subject that doesn't get discussed too often. Mainly it's because it's really used in the corporate environment. It's not really discussed much on the average listservs out there. But we've actually continued to put a tremendous amount of work. We had a couple of developers going full bore on it from the time we released 5.0 in October right up to getting this update out the door. So if you have been using Java applications with the Access Bridge, a couple of things. One, make sure you get the Access Bridge 1.1 that's out from Sun and get the latest 5.0.8.4.4 installed on your computer. And I think you're going to find some great enhancements as far as speed and as far as how it interacts with the applications and the menus. The feedback from the big customers, the big corporate and government customers that are using the Java stuff has really just been outstanding the past couple of months during our beta cycle. So Java is a definite. We haven't done a whole lot more on the Flash side, but it's my understanding that right now, for the most part, if the Flash is accessible Flash, if they've created it correctly, you should be able to interact with it very well today with the screen readers. And I don't think it's just ours. I think, you know, GW Micro is doing a good job with the Flash stuff too because of the embedded MSAA. So.
Yeah, I haven't experienced too much difficulty of late with Flash.
No.
And
it works pretty good. And also, you know, there are sometimes when the Flash content that's out there, if it's on a site that's just bothering you, there are, you know, features in the screen reader where you can disable this stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the great things in JAWS now with this 5.0 release, that one of the, you know, one that I like to point out because people don't always see this feature, is this personalized web settings. So if you've got one of those sites where the Flash content is just, you know, really something that you don't want to be bothered with on this site, but you might still want to get it on other sites, you can use the Insert Shift V while you're on the web page that has the Flash that you'd like to block in the future. And you can, in that Insert Shift V, personalized web settings dialog, you can turn off that so you can tell it, just ignore the Flash here in the future, and it'll remember it the next time you go back to that site. And you can do that with a lot of the JAWS configuration settings for web pages, and you can make them web page specific. This is a great feature.
Yes, it is a great feature. You could do sort of bits of that before. I know on the Schwann's frozen food delivery site,
mm-hmm.
they had very poorly labeled links. And so I sat down one day and I wrote using the dictionary. And I changed, I said, when you see this, say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for 6 weeks till they changed the site, and then I had to start it all over again. But there are times when we as users need to know the strength of the tools that we're using. So, and speaking of the strength of tools that we're using, I know that you've got some MP3 files up on your site.
Yeah, we've been we've been continuing to develop our help in the product, both the interactive help with Insert F1, the online stuff that we've developed. Our HTML is just getting rave reviews. But we've also continued to do some recordings and get some of this material up there. You know, when we put out the new updates, when we shipped 5.0, I got the What's New CD recorded, and I think I get about 45, 50 minutes worth of material that I can get fit onto one of those CDs, and it's just not enough. And so what I've done is gone out and done some individual recordings. So, like, I want to teach people about the HTML challenge because this is such a great tool and hardly anybody uses it.
Yeah.
And boy, if you browse the internet, go out there and give yourself an hour and just explore the HTML challenge. I'm telling you, you'll really find that your future browsing on the internet will be so greatly enhanced because you'll learn so many things by just reading through the HTML challenge with your screen reader. But I teach you in the MP3 file, I show you how to download it, how to get it installed, and how to use it. It's very simple to do, and you can download these little MP3s. I give you hints on how to use place markers. I give you hints on how to get started with the Speech and Sounds Manager. I just kind of take you in and take you through some of those new features in the product that we didn't have time to do on the What's New CD. So I hope people go out to our Freedom Scientific site, go to the training link, and look for the JAWS audio files, and you can download these. They're usually anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 minutes long, each one of them.
Well, that sounds like a fabulous resource. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you'd like to highlight?
Well, there is one thing I really want to highlight, because it has been a huge highlight here at this show. You know, we've been working on this product called Magic for a number of years now. And we came out with Magic 9 just before we came to CSUN, and we've posted that. And we've been getting emails, and I've been seeing emails unsolicited coming in from people who have looked at Magic and used Magic over the years. And they're just writing back to us saying, we can't believe what you guys have accomplished in this Magic 9 release. And they really can't believe the fact that it's free. So if you've got Magic 8, go download Magic 9 and try it out. And if you don't have Magic, go download the demo. There's a 120-hour worth of use demo of Magic out there. And get that on your machine and give it a look. It's really a great new product. And then what can I say about PacMate? This new PacMate with the module approach is really taken off. And at the show here, we had a big presentation with Brad Davis and Glenn Gordon that about 50 to 100 people attended. And we had a whole afternoon up in our suite Thursday, and people came up and saw how to interact with the encyclopedia that they found and put on this thing, and they looking at the barcode scanner with it. It's just been a very exciting conference to show off this new technology. And so we're really excited. It's going to be a great year.
Well, I appreciate your coming down, and it's been lovely to chat with you.
And we really appreciate ACB Radio and getting the word out to all of your listeners, and it's just wonderful that at least we can meet with the listeners over the radio from CSUN, even if we couldn't meet them here in person.
All right. Eric Damery, thank you so much. For ACB Radio, this is Marlena Lieberg.